from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1. Let's listen together for the word of the Lord. Verse 21 and following. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Tomorrow, Mr. Luke Hill and his bowling team will begin their regionals. And I receive word from one of our Booster Club members. I am the Booster Club president, just so y'all know. If you need anything done at Corinth High School bowling team, see me. And I'll find somebody who can do it for you. My job as the president is to delegate. Find worker bees. Lynn's saying amen over there. She knows my MO, doesn't she? So one of our other booster members let me know that we're having a party today. And Luke is not supposed to know about it. It's a surprise party. They're having practice. And then after the practice, we're having a pizza party with brownies and cookies and all the get up and go with it. And what's going to make it extra special is, for all the others, not Luke now, is that they don't know. It's a surprise. Not only is it a gift, but it's an unexpected gift. Aren't those the best? You know, if we expect something from someone, or feel that they owe us for what we've done, then it takes the joy away from it truly being a gift. But not only does it take the joy away from us for being a gift, but it takes away the joy of the giver. Isn't it wonderful? We've all heard the saying that it's better to give than to receive. It seems that when we get to know the joy of giving to others, we find fullness in our own hearts and lives. Well, in our scripture today, we hear where Jesus enters the synagogue and performs what is, for Mark, the first miracle of his ministry. Very early here and very early into his ministry, as he enters the synagogue, the first time, one of his first acts is to bring healing to a person who is unclean, an outcast, undeserving of his gift. As we reflected on this passage in our Bible study this week, Elvin Huddleston pointed out, he said, "What's so wonderful about this gift is what I was sharing with you earlier, is that the man with the unclean spirit or the evil spirit did not even ask to be healed." Wow. Now that's a gift. And we hear in this text that as Jesus came proclaiming this new teaching, as one who had authority, unlike just scribes, one who simply told what was in the text, he proclaimed it with authority and with love. And it was a new teaching because of this. As we heard the hint last week in our text, that the new teaching Jesus is bringing to our world is that it is good news. Or in other words, it is the gospel. Or to say it another word, it is grace. That's the ministry that our Lord brought to this world that it had not known before. The church was not built upon grace. The faith had been built upon works. Getting what you deserve. Working hard to try in every way you can to look and receive righteousness before your holy God. And when Jesus came into the synagogue, He turned the rules, the process, and the proclamation of the faith upside down, proclaiming good news, grace, and the gift of life. That's the beginning of Mark. And friends, for us of the Christian faith, it's the beginning of our faith, of life in Christ. You know, I find it intriguing that the evil spirit said this. He raised this question, a rhetorical question. What have you come to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Those aren't questions. Those are accusations. You see, what the evil one does for us, the tempter, is what makes it so tempting from him is that he tells us oftentimes half-truths. We get half the story. It's just tempting enough or just good enough to attract us, but it never delivers us to true fullness. Those are the things I wrestle with in temptations, and perhaps you do. We put our hope in things that give us a little bit of pick-me-up or feel-good, but they create much more devastation and peril in our life. In this passage, as the evil spirit says, Jesus of Nazareth, he's telling half the truth. He's not simply Jesus of Nazareth. He's Jesus, the Christ, or the Messiah, God come down from heaven. And he also says, have you come to destroy us? Or in other words, you've come to destroy us because we've lived in a faith of condemnation. When we make a mistake, we're zapped by God. Here you are representing God. Are you here to zap us, to hold us accountable, to convict us? And Jesus comes right the opposite. Not to destroy, but to restore. He continues on with his accusation. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Once again, a half-truth. Not only is Jesus, dear friends, a holy representative of God, Jesus is God incarnate. The one capable of saving and conquering all of our brokenness. So Jesus comes proclaiming and preaching this new gift, this new life. And everything I find is well and good in this passage until we get a hint of what's to come. You see, what's to come is that Jesus, in turning the gospel upside down, he also offended people of faith. See, the Pharisees had built their faith on doing what was supposed to be done, on living the law to the highest jot and tittle, to working their way to heaven. And here Jesus comes into their sanctuary and he gives a gift to this man who was a sinner, who was undeserving, who received a miracle of grace. Didn't sit too well with the deserving people of faith. With those who felt they'd lived a good life. Those who'd preached and led the church. Who were the chief attenders of the prayer meetings. And every time the synagogue doors were open, they were there. And then here comes this Jesus. And he brings a gift to an outcast. I'm sure they were troubled. by the gift of His grace. And if we're honest, we too at times wrestle with and search for meaning of why and how God is gracious. We consider the great mystery of miracles and we don't understand why our prayers are answered at times and sometimes they're not. We too, like the Pharisees, can wrestle with God's goodness when others get it and we don't. But friends, may we know this about miracles. As we heard in our passage today, that as Jesus gave a miracle to this person, later on, the portion I didn't read, immediately following this worship service, Jesus went with James and John and Andrew and Peter into the home of Peter, and He brought healing to Peter's mother-in-law. And then the scripture tells us this. The people of the town of Capernaum, not a real big town, about the size of Faulkner, Capernaum, the people gathered, it said, all the sick. Everyone who was demon-possessed of that town, they brought them to the home of Peter. And here's what happened next. The scripture said, and Jesus healed many. Wait a minute, it must be a typo. They brought all those who were sick and demons possessed, and Jesus healed many. Not all. There are mysteries to our faith that, friends, we will never answer on this side of heaven. There are questions that will continue to go unanswered for us, just as there were for first century believers, and as there were for us. But the challenge for us, I think, as people of faith, is to remember this about God's miracle gift, most of all for us as Christians. When Jesus came to this world, when He lived and embraced the cross of Calvary, the greatest miracle, friends, the world has ever known was Resurrection Sunday. When Jesus conquered death, when He rose victorious over sin and gave to each of us and every one of us who trust in Him the gift of life and forgiveness for our sins. Even as our Lord rose victorious, He forgave Pilate, who had Him arrested and flogged. He forgave the Pharisees who condemned Him. He forgave every sinner of this broken world. He embraced us in our fallibility to restore us forever. You see, friends, I share that to tell you we all who trust in Christ have received the greatest miracle our world has ever known. And as we pray and search for God's presence in our life, may we never forget, if we never receive another answered prayer for God, He has been faithful. He has overcome. God's Son came to this world not so much to deliver us from the brokenness of our temporary life, but to give us eternal glory in heaven. That's the gift of our Savior. I heard recently in a sermon preached by Valdi Bacham at Blue Mountain College, he shared how in the parable of the prodigal son, that it's hard for him to call it just that. He says, instead, I call it the parable of the older brother. Because he said the older brother had a syndrome much like the Pharisees. The syndrome of being bitter and frustrated when when God didn't give him what he deserved. The older brother said, I've been good. I've worked with you, Father, all these years. And here when this son of yours comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him and you do nothing for me. Look what I deserve. Why have you betrayed me? And even our Lord Jesus, I share that with you not to condemn you, but to give you words of life, because even our Lord Jesus, as he prayed in the garden, Lord, if it be possible to let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done. And as he faced death, friends, I'm convinced that his humanity rose to the surface when he said this, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? There are going to be questions in our life when we don't get what we ask for. There's going to be times that we, in our deepest humanity, feel that God has forsaken us. But friends, that was not the end of the story for Jesus. For the last thing he proclaimed was not, my God, why have you forsaken me? But this, into your hands I commend my spirit. I trust you, Lord, because I know this broken world is not my home. That Jesus our Lord came to live and die to give us an eternal glory for which we all have received the gift who trust in him. Would you pray with me? Oh God.